prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers. It's a long time since I've led a whole song service and then tried to preach. I feel good, so we'll see. Now, I'm thankful that, you know, at times like this, it makes you real thankful for good song leaders, don't it? Now, I'm thankful all the time for them, and I'm thankful for every one of you. We all have our place, don't we? And I'm thankful for the blessings that this church has and all the ways that we contribute toward what needs to be done. This is one of those times when something came to mind, and I kept thinking about maybe something else to preach on, but I'm satisfied with the selection of hymns this morning. This is what's on our heart to speak. And I want to go back into the Psalms this morning. You know, we spent a lot of time in the Psalms, didn't we? I've forgotten now how many years it was as we went through the Psalms. We went through all of the Psalms. And they're all good, aren't they? There's just so much. Someone has said one time that the Psalms touch on every human emotion. And I believe that. Now, I don't know that I've ever made a complete list of all the human emotions, but I can just see in all that the Psalms addresses that there's so much there that we can glean from every day we live. So I want to go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. It's been a comfort to me a lot of times in life for various reasons. It's only 11 verses. Lord, if the Lord would bless us, we want to look at the whole of Psalm 46 and the message that God's Word gives us to be a help to us throughout life. You know, it's not just in the bad times that we need the Word of God, is it? Let me ask, maybe before I get into the verses, let me just ask you a question. When is it that you're most apt to thank God? Think about that. When is it when you're most apt to think, is it when you feel like you're particularly blessed? You know, there's good reasons for that, but I'm sometimes amused at people that put on, like on Facebook, they'll talk about some particular good thing that happened to them, and they'll say, God is good. Yes, he is. And he's just as good if everything in the world was going wrong. So if we only think that God's good when think good's coming our way, then we're a little faulty in our thinking, aren't we? We need to be praising God. Now, I appreciate folks talking about the goodness of God whenever, when they're being blessed and when they're not being blessed, whenever the time might be, because I know that he's always good. When is it that you're least likely to praise God? Pardon? Yeah, that's our human nature, isn't it? That's right. But there's a lot of folks that don't praise him when things are going bad, too. And so, you know, it's like we need to be thinking more toward God's goodness all the time. So we're sometimes least likely. Now, and we talked about when you're most likely, and I guess when you're the greatest, when you give him the greatest praise. Now, think about this. It's not necessarily the same as the most apt to give him praise, but when you give him the greatest praise. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, deliverance. When God has heard your prayers, and we already talked about, some of you mentioned how when he's answered prayers, but when he's delivered you from a trial, that's when you realize God would hear somebody like me. Isn't he good? Isn't he glorious? He is all the time. So listen to what Psalm 40, how it begins. The first three verses really sum up the whole psalm. So listen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Oh, we do though, don't we? Now, it's okay to fear. It's just, don't let it paralyze you. You're going to fear. There are going to be times when you're caught unaware and things look like they're just crumbling all around you or there's no hope for some situation. But listen, that's going to come. And anytime we're made to realize our weakness and realize our inability to fix the situation, anytime we're faced with that, we're going to be fearing to some degree. But the sooner we can cast all our burdens upon the Lord, because He's the one that can handle it, isn't He? The sooner we could start thinking in that way, the better off we'll be. It won't change the situation immediately, but it'll sure show us or remind us where our help needs to come from. All right. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. You remember what Selah means, don't you? Pause and consider. It's really a musical notation. It's for the voices to cease while maybe those final notes are drawn out and you pause, think about what's been said. And before we get into the rest of this, let's go back and look at these first three verses. God is our refuge and strength. Let's ask some questions. Let's think about this. Let's do a study of what's being said here. God is our refuge and strength. Do we flee to Him for the refuge that we need? We should. We should. And we should try to stay there. Underneath His arms. He is our refuge and strength. How good of a refuge is He? There's no better, is there? He's the best of all. Why would we seek anything inferior? I know that, you know, there's situations in life. There's medical situations. There's financial needs. There's health issues. Just all kinds of business things that can pop up and things that cause us to realize that something needs to change. But first and foremost, our mind needs to soar to God's throne and bow before His feet and beg Him for mercy and beg Him for wisdom and beg Him for the strength and grace that He has promised He would give us in our times of need. God is our refuge and strength. How much strength is there in Him? How much strength is available to us for what we need? Oftentimes, I've given credit to Isaiah, but it's really in Deuteronomy. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You ever pause to think about that? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's a promise from God. Now, if you remember, that passage was when Moses, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and he was pronouncing blessings that God had revealed to him, he was pronouncing blessings upon the children of Israel. And when he came to Asher, this is what he said, as thy days. That's not all he said, but that's part of what he said. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. That tells me that as many days as you have, and some of us have had more than others, okay, as many days as you have, and as much strength as you need for each day, God has promised. If we'll flee to him for refuge, he will be there for us. It's not limited to the times that we flee to him, because his mercy is so good. His love is so great for us. He blesses us in times when we forget to go to him, doesn't he? Haven't you experienced that in life? That's just part of his goodness. As a good father, as a good God, in whom all goodness dwells. See, if there's anything good in us, God gave it to us. Isn't that right? You know, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And man by nature is just that way. In our fallen nature that we inherited from Adam, that sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, even if we've never had the opportunity to commit a sin, we've got the nature of sin within us. But God is so good to us that he watches over us and he cares. He's our refuge and strength. Let me see. There's a couple of other verses I want to read very quickly. Isaiah chapter 40. Don't you love Isaiah 40? Of course, we love a lot of other chapters too, but Isaiah 40. How wonderful. Let's see. I want to begin in verse 28. Isaiah 40. We're talking about God being our refuge and strength. Okay? Many places we could go, but in Isaiah 40, I'll begin, let's see, in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Boy, I like that, don't you? He fainteth not. Now, there's plenty of times that we get weary. There's plenty of times that we feel like that we're just going to faint by the way. God doesn't do that. He has all power. He's God, and he fainteth not. All right? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. That's why he's God. There's no searching. You'll never discover all the understanding of God. Anything you might pick in this world, and as a scientist or physicist or whatever your discipline might be, and you start digging into the complexities of anything in this world, it will just amaze you, won't it? If you've ever stopped and think about it, you know, I frequently think about how fearfully and wonderfully made this body is. And anything that you might try to study, you can find it just tremendously complex beyond anything that we can fully understand. And yet God is the one that made it all of it. Whatever it might be, he made it all. And just, you know, I've talked about George Washington Carver and how he, you know, he started out to be an astronomer and he began to look at the stars and looking through those telescopes and the vastness of creation. He thought, this is too big for me. So he traded in his telescope for a microscope and he began to study the peanut. And after he'd studied the peanut and found out how complex it was, he said, this is too big for me. Tell you something, brethren. If you start digging into this word and start gaining a deeper and deeper and deeper appreciation for the wisdom of God, you'll say, it's too wonderful for me. But he's given it to us, and he's promised to give us his Holy Spirit to help us to understand it. And it's there for our learning. It's there for our strengthening. It's there for our growing in confidence in him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He would have us to go to him first in every need, in every trial, in every good time to say, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings upon us. He needs to be first and foremost. If we're going to seek him and his, you know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You have a need for anything? I know you do. We all have our needs. And we need to go to him first and foremost, because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in going to him, he'll give us instruction on how we need to proceed, what we need to do, what we need to be looking for, what we need to be doing with our time and our energies as we go forward in life. That's seeking him first and his, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, we need to know how to live our life. Whatever it is that we're pursuing in life, whatever problem we're facing in life, we need to know how to go about it. What's the best way to do it? How's the best way to represent our God who loves us and provides for us the refuge and strength that we need in all our times of trouble? You never know when trouble's going to come. You never know how it's going to come. But you might rest assured knowing that it's going to come. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so as we go through each day, as we seek his face and his loving counsel in every decision of life, and bless your hearts, we can rest assured that we've got the best counsel available for whatever it is that we're going to face that day. I don't know what's going to happen 2 seconds from now, but God does. And he's well able to handle it. God is our refuge and our strength. Let's keep reading in Isaiah 40. Neither is there is no searching of his understanding. Listen, he giveth power to the faint. Has God ever given you strength or power in the things that you face? Yes, he does. And he will. He's honored for us going. You know, sometimes we don't want to bother God with some little things that we're facing in life. I say that's the wrong approach. I'd say he's just as honored in the little things as he is in the big ones. So go ahead. He's got plenty of time for those who love him and desire his help. He's got all the time you need, right? That's part of his greatness and goodness. It boggles my mind that God can handle all of the needs of all of his people at all times, but he does. He never comes short. He's never too busy. It doesn't take much at all to meet our limitations, does it? That's why we need to go to him. That's why we need to remember him first. But how often is he last? You know, that joke about us guys and, you know, when all else fails, read the directions. Well, our directions would direct us, the proper directions anyway, would direct us to go seek the Lord's counsel first in everything. Now, there's a lot of little things that we already know how we need to proceed, but the more we go to him, the more time we spend in dependence upon his counsel, the more wisdom and understanding we'll be treasuring up for the days ahead. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I tell you, there have been times when I've just literally felt the Lord's deliverance in situations. And how wonderful. There have been times when an accident could have really easily happened, and it didn't. And I just thank the Lord for his hand of providence and protecting us from it. You know, I've been, you can ask Sister Nancy, I have been terribly frustrated when we'd be leaving on a trip sometime, and it just seemed like I just couldn't get everything together and get ready and get on the road, and yet when we finally did, then somewhere down the road there'd be a terrible accident. And if we'd have left on time, we might have been part of it. You know what I'm talking about. I suspect every one of us have had, whether we acknowledged it, whether we stopped to think about it or not, I suspect every one of us have had situations in life like that. It's because God's already on the job, and he's already protecting us. As a matter of fact, when David said, I'll get back to the rest of the psalm in a minute, in Isaiah, but when David said he's a very present help in trouble, listen, God is more present than the trouble itself. You ever thought about that? He already knows everything about it. You're not going to acquaint him with anything. Nothing ever surprises God. He's more present in our need and providing for us than the trouble itself. And he's greater than it too, isn't he? I tell you, I like to think about my God. My God is a great God. He's able. He's the one true and living God. All the other gods are just the imaginations of men, of the minds of men. They may carve an image of stone. They may bow down to some image. They may have some great ideas. But there's only one true and living God. If you read the book of Isaiah, you'll find over and over, he tells Isaiah, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me. Let's go to the one true and living God in our time of need. Now come back to Isaiah 40. Giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Now I don't know about you, but I used to have a lot more stamina than I do nowadays. Need to work on that, don't I? But eventually it kind of gets to you. But the youths, you expect youths can go a lot longer, a lot more stamina. You know, the vigor and the strength of more youthful years. But he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. Don't you love this verse? They that wait upon the Lord. Now, he's not, you know what biblical waiting is, don't you? It's not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs waiting for God to do something. Bless your hearts. Biblical waiting is ready to serve, ready to do, watchful. And, you know, just like we've used the illustration many times, you go to a nice restaurant and there's a waiter there and you expect that waiter to serve you, don't you? And it would be very nice if that waiter would show up and ask if he needs to do anything every now and then, instead of waiting on you to be out of whatever you're needing and having to look for somebody to come offer the service. That's a great illustration of how we should be in our waiting on the Lord. Looking to see if there's something we can do in his service. Ready to serve. Mindful of the needs around about us and doing something about it. That's what biblical waiting is all about. They that wait on the Lord. They that are ready to serve the Lord. Ready to do his will. Ready to hear his word. Ready to hear from him in instruction on what we need each day. They that wait. Now there is some waiting as far as waiting to get the answer and such as that. But it's not a matter of just wasting time sitting around waiting. It's ready to serve and being in service while we're looking for the answer and for God to give it. They that wait on the Lord. Here's a wonderful, wonderful promise from the Word of God. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now you understand what that's saying, don't you? You're not going to do it. It's not going to be you that's going to renew your strength. But in waiting properly and in seeking God's help, he's the one who renews our strength, isn't he? He's the one that provides what we need. So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Don't you love that shall? We love those shalls in the Bible, don't we? You know, Matthew 1:21, he shall save his people from their sins. I'm so glad he didn't say might or maybe or try to. He shall. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It's a promise from God. All right. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isn't it impressive how eagles can fly and fly to such heights and such distances? The Word of God has a lot of special things to say about the eagles. And here he's talking about something that's most impressive in his strength. To mount up to flight. We need that sometimes, don't we? God has it. We need to seek Him for the refuge and strength. All right? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Now, listen, we're supposed to be thinking about how that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Here he says, they that wait on the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. You know, there's a rest while we labor in the kingdom of God. There's a rest that we get from the Lord while we labor. When we're doing the Lord's will, and we've got the Spirit of God within us working and helping and blessing us, energizing our faith. I tell you something, there's a great rest. Just in secular labor, when you feel like you've accomplished something, when you feel like you've made some good progress, you can rest easy from that, can't you? It's when those times when you don't feel like you've accomplished anything, you can't rest from that. And we have those days too, don't we? But bless your hearts, when we feel like the Lord is with us, and we feel like that He's the one that's putting wind in our sails, that He's the one that's giving us the lift, that we can mount up like the eagles, I tell you, that's a good feeling. And I'm going to tell you, there's some rest in that, mentally, spiritually, physically. There's a rest in that even while we're continuing to do God's will. Sometimes I'm afraid it's a rest that we miss quite often because we're not seeking His help. We're not seeking His guidance. We're not seeking to know His will and seeking to do it. Bless your hearts, when we are, there's a joy in that that results in a rest to our very souls. All right? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Over in the next chapter of Isaiah, chapter 41, let's see, let's just get verse 10. Now, in chapter 41, this encouragement, primarily he's speaking about against our enemies. But there's times when we need help there too, isn't it? All right? So in verse 10, Isaiah 41, verse 10, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." You ever get dismayed? You ever get discouraged? You ever get cast down? I do. "For I'm with thee. Be not dismayed." That's the reason why we shouldn't be dismayed. It's because He's with us. All right? "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee." Oh, that's great help, isn't it? That's great strength. "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And the greatest part of that righteousness is He's promised that He's promised to take care of us. He is our God. He is our Father in heaven. And He's the best parent that there ever will be. Because He knows our needs. He's able to supply them. And He doesn't just give us what we want. I heard this just recently. I think Brother Jim mentioned it in his prayer. He doesn't give us just what we want. He gives us what we need. And what God provides is always perfectly suited to the need, right? Why would we seek any other refuge and strength? Why would we seek any other help but from the Lord? Seek Him for the wisdom and the counsel that we need to pursue whatever it is that is before us, that we may honor Him in it and find rest while we do it. All right. Coming back to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And we've already told you, He's more present than the trouble itself. He was already there before we realized the trouble. All right? So you can't acquaint him with anything. Though, therefore, he says, we will not fear. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. I know you know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway just to get you to think about it. Is there any trouble too big for the Lord? No. No. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Anything that's his will to do, anything that's his will to do, he is able to do it. We just have to be submissive to his will and seek his face and his loving counsel. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. This earth is going to be removed someday, isn't it? The Word of God tells us that. Do you believe it? You know, he destroyed the face of this earth with a flood one time. Are you worried about a worldwide flood anymore? No. Oh, there could be localized flooding, and we've had some of that in areas like Louisiana and other places, Texas last year, so forth. You know, there's going to be localized flooding, but we don't have to, I don't have any care whatsoever worrying about a worldwide flood, because God's word says he's not going to do that again. All right? There's so much rest we can find in the scriptures when we know the promises of God. I'm sure I've told you over the years, the man I used to work for, he was just worried about a nuclear holocaust. That somebody was going to hit that button, and somebody was going to launch, and somebody was going to retaliate, and the whole world was going to be blown up with nuclear weapons. I don't have any problem. I don't have any worries. You know, there could be a weapon. There could be a bomb. There's folks out there that's crazy enough to use it. But as far as worldwide destruction. Now, man's doing a good job of destroying this earth, isn't he? I mean, there's a lot of that going on. But God's already said, next time, it's going to be by fire. And unlike the flood, the waters that covered the face of the earth, this time this earth is going to melt with fervent heat. We're not talking about just the face of the earth. We're talking about the earth itself. It's going to melt with fervent heat. God says he's going to do it. And he's well able to do that, isn't he? Plenty of fire, you know, the closest star to our solar system. I'm told, I haven't been able to measure it myself, but I'm told it's bigger, you know, that it's so big it wouldn't even fit between our sun and the earth. That's a lot of fire. There's plenty of fire available to burn up this earth. You know, the greatest destruction we know of today is a nuclear, you know, reaction. All God has to do is change the laws of physics. If atoms start colliding, no telling what. And really, that language, as far as melting with fervent heat, that I'm told that language there perfectly fits what happens in a nuclear reaction. So, I'm sure there's plenty of people knows more about it than I do, but I know what God's word says, that it's going to melt with fervent heat. But I'm not worried about that, because I know some of the other things that God has promised to his people. And before all of that takes place, he's promised that Jesus is coming back, that Jesus is going to gather up all that he died for, take us home to be with him. So shall we ever be. There's another shall that I like in the Bible. That shall come to pass. So we're not to worry about what he's going to do to this earth after he takes his people out. All right? So, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Oh, listen. Roaring and troubled. There's just lots of, you know, oftentimes our problems seem like mountains, don't they? And lots of times, you see, there's a lot of roaring and trouble all around us. Bless your hearts. God is greater than all of our troubles. I love to think how when the disciples were in the ship and the storm was raging and Jesus came walking on the sea, the very thing that was giving them the most trouble, Jesus came walking on it. Bless your heart. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We think about his power, his being able to save us in all our troubles, wherever the case might be. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. All right, we've paused, we've considered what he said in these first three verses. And really, like I said, that sums up the whole thought, but it's like a song here with a couple of verses, and he goes through and speaks of these things. But he says in verse 4, I know time's getting away from us, but in verse 4 it says, there is a river. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There's a river. You know, you get over to the end of Revelation, and there's a pure river that flows. And there's a lot of debate about whether that's talking about the kingdom now or whether that's in heaven. And there's good arguments for both sides. And I understand that the Word of God says that in 1 Corinthians 15, then come at the end when the kingdom shall be delivered up to God. So when God's speaking of this kingdom and the glory of it, then he gives us a foretaste of it now, but we're going to have the fullness of it up there. And I don't expect the glory of what we see now to be that much different from what we see up there. And so when we understand that God has a place of peace and of beauty and of rest, and there's a great river that's flowing in that, and we stop and think about let me just ask you in a way of a question. What is the greatest refreshing that we as children of God experience in this life? Is it not the grace of God? When God shows us his grace, when we're blessed to understand that God's provisions flowing from heaven down unto his people as it flows daily, as he daily loads us with benefits, as he provides the help and the strength that we need, it's God's grace unto us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't make it. We didn't earn it. But God gives it to us freely. And his grace is sufficient, isn't it? As a matter of fact, his grace abounds. Oh, as we think about the abounding of the grace of God, just think about all the grace that's flowed down to God's people all the years that this world has been here. That's an abundance of grace, isn't it? You can stop and count your blessings, and you can begin to realize that there's been an abundance of grace that's been bestowed to you personally. And then multiply that by all of God's people. I tell you, God's grace is amazing. John Newton had it right, didn't he? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Oprah may not feel like she's a wretch. And Phil, whatever his name is, may not feel like he's a wretch. But I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God says we are. We are. In and of ourselves, we are. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. By the grace of God, we can be a blessing to others. By the grace of God, we can have a thankful heart. By the grace of God, we can do things for others that God would be pleased with. But that river, he says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You can think about this as the church of God. and as the church, and God has blessed his church, but his church is made up of people, isn't it? I mean, we're each one individually are part of what makes up the church, because the church is the ecclesia, the called out. And each one of us are representatives of the kingdom of God as we go about our day. So what somebody looking at your life each day, what would their impression be of what the kingdom of God is like? Is there something they can see about the kingdom of God being reflected in your life? I know, just looking over this congregation, every one of you here have received the grace, the abundance of God every day of your life. Every day. Things we've asked for, but far more than that, things that we haven't even asked, we haven't even thought to ask God for, He has provided abundantly for us. Our loved ones, our families, our heritage, the memories, we sang that song, Precious Memories. And it's precious to think about the family, our family members that we've had and the family we have now. It's precious to think about those sacred memories of good and godly folks that have had a good influence upon our lives as we've grown up. Think about the heritage this church has and other churches. Many of you here have come from other churches in your past. But aren't you glad that God is so good to us every day? Those streams of grace and blessings that just keep flowing without ceasing. Now, there may be times when you may not feel very blessed, but I'm going to tell you something, you are. You are, because God's still on His throne, and He's sent His Son to redeem us from our sins, and there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and there's promises that He's made, and there's hope that He's given to us, and it's a well-founded hope, because it rests in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in us being holding out faithful, or us giving enough thanks, or us doing enough good works. It's in the grace of God in giving His Son who saved us from our sins and someday will be with Him in glory without the loss of one. As we think about the grace of God, the river of His grace that flows down to His people. And yes, I'm thankful for special manifestations of His grace to His church, especially in the times when we meet together and enjoy worshiping together. But bless your hearts, we're still a part of the kingdom of God when we leave this place, and each one of us individually represent our Lord. If He's had mercy upon us and given us His Spirit, if He's blessed us to know Him, then we're His representative here in this world. And I'm going to tell you something, it's a great privilege and a great responsibility to represent Him well. Because of all the goodness that He's bestowed upon us and that all He is for us, because He is, not was, not will be, He is, always is, our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. As a river, streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Aren't you glad that God has manifested His presence to us? And I'm going to tell you, the more we seek Him and the more closely we live with Him and walk with Him each day, the more of Him we'll bring to the house of God when we meet together, and the greater manifestation of His presence we'll feel among us. But if we turn to the things of this world and our heart and minds are so full of the things of the world that we're not very thankful for what God's done for us, when we meet together, we won't feel much of His presence. If we want more of His presence when we meet together, let's walk more closely to Him throughout the week. Give Him more thanks and give Him more praise and give Him more glory with the life that you live, showing forth your thankfulness and your gratitude. That the fact that He is our refuge and strength and our very present help in trouble. He is. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Didn't Jesus say, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Nothing's going to thwart the work that Christ finished that the Father gave him to do. Now, when he said upon this rock, and I know this is described in various ways. Maybe I'd have a different way of describing it. But to me, he had asked Peter, or he had asked the disciples, whom do ye say that I am? And when Peter gave the right answer, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And that understanding of the identity of Christ, his true identity, that he's not just some God that's hoping that everything's going to turn out or hoping that as many as will accept his work. No, he's a God of purpose. He's a God who knows the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. He declared it. It's going to be that way. From ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now, he's not out here doing all these evil things in the world. But he chose out a people in Christ. He sent his Son to save those people from their sins. Bless your hearts, he sends his Spirit into our hearts sometime in this life. And I know there's people that take exception to that doctrine sometimes and say, well, you know, as if somebody wants to be saved and they're not. I've never known of anybody that wanted to be saved that wasn't already saved. Bless your hearts. He's a God of purpose. And he said, upon this rock, the church, I know there's a lot of people on the church rolls, but the true church are the called out. The Greek words, the ecclesia. They are the called out. The Holy Spirit has called them, quickened them, given them life, given them faith. The true church know who Jesus Christ is. They know who God is. The gospel tells us a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your heart, the Holy Spirit. When we hear the truth, that Spirit is the first witness to the truth. There are people that have heard another doctrine all their life. And when they hear the truth, there's some rejoicing in it, even though their head doesn't understand it. But the Spirit's going to rejoice with the truth. That's why you need to follow the leadership of the Spirit. Because the Spirit will lead you into all truth. Oh, as we think about it, God's a God of purpose. So, knowing who Jesus is, knowing the truth, that's the rock. Having it revealed to you, that foundation of knowing who God is and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that foundation of revealed truth to his people is what he builds his church upon. You can't, well, without knowing who he is, you can't be built upon the truth, can you? All right. He said, the gates of hell shall not be prevailed against. All right, so he says, she shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. That right early. What does that mean? Well, I already told you, God's more present than the trouble itself. He's there. He's in the midst of us. He's there, and he's able to provide the help we need. He says, the heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. I just love some of those passages in the Old Testament that speaks of how God showed himself mightily on behalf of them who's trusted in him. You know, don't you love those Old Testament stories? I call them stories, but you know they're true accounts. I love those. It just inspires me to be reminded of the power and the ability of God to do his will. And he's the same today as he was back then. And he always will be. So he'll always be able to supply the need we have. So we should go to him first, shouldn't we? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Think about that. He's with us. And the God of Jacob is our, he's not just a label. That's your heart. He's the one true and living God. So he says, verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. His judgments are awful, aren't they? When he has judged his people. You know, his people. He told his people at the end of 2 Chronicles, you read, he had sent prophet after prophet. He'd sent message after message till there was no remedy. And what'd he do? He said, oh, well, that's okay. I didn't really mean it anyway. No. God speaks truth. And he told them if they didn't repent that they were going to be carried away into captivity. And guess what happened? They were carried away into captivity. And he already told them it'd be a captivity. It would last for 70 years. And it lasted 70 years. Maybe we'll do some more preaching on that return, but I'll just tell you now, there was some faithfulness of those that went into captivity that begins to show up later, and how God used them mightily when Israel came back out of captivity. And bless your hearts, we don't know what we're facing in this country, but I do know this, there's a dire need for God's people to shine and shine brightly today. Show forth his glory. Show forth his faithfulness. Show forth his ability to care for us and take care of us and provide for us and all that we stand in need of. I tell you, the world, there's many in the world who needs to see that. You can talk to them all day long, but when they see it, it makes more of an impression, doesn't it? When they can see that you're rock solid in trusting God no matter what. When they can see that you're not worried about all the craziness that's going on in our nation's government today. That it's a matter of concern, but you know who's in control. And you know that when he's had enough, he'll deal with it. When people can see that confidence in your life, and bless your hearts, they know that there's something that you have that they don't have. And they just might ask you for a reason for the hope that's in you. And I hope you're able to tell them. Because my trust is in the Lord. He's my refuge and my strength. And he's a very present help in trouble. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. He can do that? Sure he can. Read your Old Testament. There's plenty of times that he did that. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Those kinds of things were the things that they relied upon most heavily for victories. But God is a better victor than any of those things. All right? Then he says in verse 10, here's one of the toughest lessons in all scripture. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. I'm telling you, you say it a mouthful when you say that. John said, God is love, and yes, he is, and he's a whole lot more than that. Be still and know that I am God. He is sovereign. He does his will. He's able to keep his promises. All goodness is in and of him. Be still. No. And that, to me, that's an exhortation to those who are fretting. He began the psalm by saying, he's our refuge and strength. And perhaps this is someone reading this as someone that's fretful, someone that's fearful, someone that's not seeking the Lord for refuge, not seeking the Lord for strength. But that's where we need to be. We need to be seeking it of Him. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that's able to provide what we need. Be still. I tell you, that's a hard thing for a lot of folks to do nowadays. Be still. You ever seen a little child that's all worked up about something? You want to tell them just, be still. Sit down. I wonder if God does that for us sometimes. He tells us, be still and know. In other words, pause and consider, right? Stop from fretting and think about me. If you know Him, then when you think about Him, you'll start thinking about His power. You'll start thinking about His glory. You'll start thinking about His omniscience. You'll start thinking about the times that He's delivered you in the past. Because when you think about those times when He's delivered you in the past, it gives you more confidence that He'll deliver you today. It'll give you more confidence for the future. So when you stop and think about God is our refuge and strength, He's with us, He's among us, He's able, be still and know. And this is what you need to be thinking about, all these things. Be still and know that I am God. You are not God. We want to be our God so many times, don't we? Just know, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Again, run back to the Old Testament. Those times when God delivered His people out of Egypt. By the time they got over Jericho had heard about it, hadn't they? Rahab said, our hearts did melt. They heard of the power of the God of Israel. And there's every reason for them to understand that it was the power of God that delivered them, because Moses was sent down there to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And every time Pharaoh said no, then God showed His power. And it's interesting, it's an interesting study when you study the gods of the Egyptians and then the plagues that God sent upon them. And God is showing every time in every one of those plagues, God is showing His power over one of their gods. And so there's every reason to believe that those people who heard about what happened down there in Egypt, how God delivered them, there's every reason for them to know that it was their God that delivered them. And their God is our God. And He will do the same for us. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. We've encountered this verse before, haven't we? Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. By the way, when you look up some of these Old Testament names for God, you'll find there's more than one way of looking at it. The one that I encounter most often is the Lord of hosts means the God of endless supply. The God of endless supply. And those supplies are supplies of grace, aren't they? That river that keeps flowing every day, that'll continue to flow until He takes us home, and then we'll see it, His grace continuing to flow in heaven's pure world that has no end. Oh, as we think about God's grace, how good it is. So He says, the Lord of hosts, the God of endless supply, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Think about it, brethren. The more you lay this to heart, the more comfort, the less fear, the less anxiety, and the more confidence you'll feel in your God who is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. May we cast all our cares upon him, Peter said, because he careth for us. May God bless you is our prayer.